Okay. Sorry about that. That's technology for you, Robin. Hey, but when it's good, it's good. You know, I was reflecting last week with the Tablin brethren that last year had come and gone. Because I just shared a message down there, I felt like it was just the other day, about the new year, 2018. And here we are, 2019, just like that. Has anyone else noted that it's gone that fast? Because I thought it might have been just the old people, but I've been talking to a lot of young people too, you know, and they're saying the same thing, the young people. So it seems to me that time's speeding up. And talking about the young, I conducted a survey in my scripture class last year. I've done two surveys, but this was my second survey, where I asked them a number of questions. And these are year 6 students, right? 5 and 6, aging 11 and 12 year olds. And so it's good to get into the minds of our young people, eh? And so by asking these questions, I thought that was a good reflection. Would you like me to share the results? Okay, let's have a look at this. We'll just go through Psalm 23. Oh, this is the title of my sermon, by the way. Reset. And you'll understand why shortly. Okay, so here's the kids' survey, and here's a couple of kids' cartoon. In one word, describe school. Hell. And draw a plant cell and identify its most important parts. Well, look what this student did. He put a flower behind the bars and assuming that's him in school. That's a plant cell. He can't blossom there, can he? No, not in his mind. It's very fascinating what kids come up with. But anyway, here's the first question I asked them. Do you worry about the state of the world? Hey, I could ask you the same question, couldn't I? And so just reflect on your answer and see what the kids did and how you do. Now, bear in mind, I probably have about 5 students that are from Christian families, and then out of the whole 14 students. So I've got quite a large representation from the non-churched kids. But the majority of the kids, and this is 12-year-old kids, were concerned about the state of the world. Now that concerned me, because when I was 12, I couldn't care less. Hey, I was too busy living and having fun as a kid. I think these kids are heavily loaded. Do you think the world is getting worse? What do you think? Yes, they all basically agreed. The world is getting worse. There was a couple of kids, but sometimes these kids are just answering incorrectly anyway. So you've got to factor that in just to gripe me. Do you know what Jesus said about the future? Hey, I would ask the church that. Do you know what Jesus said about the future? And if not, why not? Okay, let's say if the kids are interested in the future. No. Well, they hadn't. Well, bear in mind, again, a lot of these are non-church kids. So they've got no idea what Jesus said about the future. Sadly. But obviously, you know, 5 of my kids did. I'd suggest they're the 5 Christian family kids. Do you wish you knew what the future held for the world? What do you think? The majority said yes. And again, of course, some 12-year-olds couldn't care less. That's fair enough. Do you wish you knew what the future held for you? Again, at a personal level, forget the world. Oh, yes. 8 of the kids said, yes, I would like to know what my future held. You know, that's why people go and read the stars and all this rubbish stuff, because they have a longing desire to know what's coming next. And you know, I think God's planted that in our hearts. He wants us to know that we have a future, and he wants to reveal it to us. So it's planted in there. So most of the kids here, yeah, they wish they knew what the future held for them. Now, this is a very enlightening question. Do you think the world will end in your lifetime? Because it kind of governs where you go and what you think about your worldview. Huh? These kids, I don't think so. And bear in mind, at 12, and you're going to probably live to about 90s now because of medical science, you've got about another 80 years. So I suppose that's probably a fair enough comment. I can't see that far out. Do you think Jesus, but this is the most important question, and this is the most important question for us here today too. How would you answer this? Do you think Jesus will come back in your lifetime? I won't ask for a show of hands. I'm very concerned about their answer. The majority said no. And if I ask the church as a whole, I think it might be no too. And I'm very concerned about that because I don't believe God ever intended us to believe there was not the immediate expectation of Jesus returning. It keeps us sharp, it keeps us on our toes, keeps us on fire. And if we think he's not going to come back in our lifetime, we can eat, drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. So, my target this year is try and get this no section down. If I get back to scripture, which is quite a challenge. Okay. So, why are things moving at such speed, do you think? If you agree that it is moving at such speed, why is it so? Well, could I suggest that it might be that we're just too busy. We're just too busy. Maybe busyness is the enemy's intention to keep us from pressing into the Lord. There are just so many things in my life, and I'm sure it's same with you, that demands our attention. And it competes for our time. Let me name some. Computers. Mobile phones. SMS texts, Robin. Googling. YouTubing. Emails. Facebooking. Twitter. FaceTime. Skype. And I could go on. These are just some of the more recent things that have crept into our lives. And I know some of you older people have not got any of those things, but Caleb and his generation, full of it. Isn't that right, mate? Yeah. Chris, Facebook. Where we would be without Facebook? Marilyn, gets all the information about the grandkids through Facebook. Absolutely. A great tool, but also a great time consumer. And you know, God hasn't put any more hours into the day. There are still just 24 of them. So you can't really put more and more in there without overloading. You know, life was much simpler from my memory when I was a kid because we had none of those distractions. Things were very simple. It was really just about survival. Where was the next food coming from, you know? And now we're so affluent, we don't have to worry about those things, do we? The pantry's full, the fridge full, so we can spend our idle hours on much other trivial matters, could I suggest. And you know, by the way, that's because we're old enough, Meryl and I are old enough to remember these times, you know, 40, 50 years ago. We can remember them. These scripture kids, they've got no idea. We're talking about fairyland, these old days. And you know what? We're so excited because, well, I'm so excited because Marilyn, I've just applied for her seniors card, you know. Because she just turned the big 6-0. And she's excited. No, she's excited. Yeah. So she's going to get this seniors card and then I'm going to get this Opal card and I can travel all around Sydney with my uncle for $2.50 a day. Hey, what a system we have in Australia. That is so good. So good. Yes. Okay, so righto, back to reality. Let's just reflect for a moment on 2018. Just think back. I know it was a whole 2 weeks ago, but try and cast your memory back. So how did you do? How did you do in 2018? And I'm not talking about things like making a killing on the share market. Some of you might. I'm not talking about extending the barns even though I wanted to, didn't. And I'm not talking about collecting more stuff. We've got too much stuff, I think. And I'm not talking about doing more travelling. A lot of people travel, don't they, now? Especially the grey nomads. I'm so jealous of them. No, I'm talking about how did we do with the kingdom's work? The things that matter eternally. Not just the here and now, that's satisfying for sure, but in the terms of eternity, won't matter one iota, will they? No. How many people did we share the love of Jesus with in 2018? Did we share it with anyone? Did we pray more last year? Did we build relationships with the kingdom kids? Because we're a family. How'd we go there? You know, some families are very hard to work with. We've got some family members in our family, haven't we, hon, that are very difficult people. But we're still family, and we have to work at it. It just doesn't come easy. And we can't just say, oh, it's all their fault. Hey, hey, we've got to look at ourselves. We've got to put the input in, even if they don't respond, especially as Christians. Did we get last year to know Jesus more, to love him more, as we understood him more, his attributes, who he really is, how much he loves us and is concerned for us? Did we respond to that? Did we discover, here's a good one, did we discover precious gems in his word? Because his word's inexhaustible. You know, you can look at a piece of a scripture over and over and over again and get something more and more and more. And they're precious gems. And you know, I like looking for gold. But you know, with gold, there's lots and lots of dirt. You have to really work hard to find that little nugget. And that's how the word of God is. He's planted those nuggets in there because he wants us to work at it. Because you know, if you don't work for something, it is of no value. If I'm just up here preaching to you and you just receive it, it really is of no value. Because you don't own it. I might own it. But you haven't dug it out. Eh? So it's a not real, you know, you might benefit from it, don't get me wrong, but it might be of real value. We've got to dig in there. You know, and I'll give you some example of how Marilyn and I are doing. In 2017, the year before last year, 2018, we were challenged at the Presbyterian Church in Casino to just read through the Bible in a year. So we took up that challenge. It was a fair challenge in one way, because we had to get together every day. Well, most days we didn't get there every day, so then we had to do catch-ups. But we got through the Bible in a little bit over a year. The whole Bible together. But then, so in 2018, we said, okay, what are we going to do now? Well, we're going to pray for all our family and all our church family members and all our people. We're going to name them by name every day. We're going to put them in the groups, and we're going to pray for them every day. Sadly, that one hasn't gone too well. Because of what? Busyness. Busyness. To get that time to set apart as a couple is very difficult. And even though Marilyn's retired and I'm semi-retired, it still is difficult. What is that? I don't know. But they've been, sadly I have to report, it's been irregular. Well, if you here this morning listening to me feel like Marilyn and I feel, that we fell a bit short, a bit under par, you know, to use a golfing term, any golfers, I don't even know what that means, but a bit under par, well, I'm here to remind you this morning that our God is a good God. He's a good God, and he is giving each and every one of us here today a rerun. a reset. Because in my electrical work, I use a fuse in the old days, but we modernise now, because see, some people in the homes, when they blow a fuse, they find some fencing wire to put in it. You may be amazed what some people do with fuses. So we've gone to these circuit breakers now, which you can't really defeat. You can't change it. Well, you could. You can change the circuit breaker to a bigger one. But anyway, the circuit breaker. So we use these circuit breakers. And so a circuit breaker is there when there's too much demand, like when Marilyn plugs in the fry pan, the jug, and the microwave all together at once. Circuit breaker is there not to protect that equipment, but to protect the cable that supplies that equipment, because the cable is only rated a certain rating, and it will overheat. And if it overheats enough, it'll catch fire. And there goes your house. So the circuit breaker is there to protect the cable from an overloading situation. And we know when that circuit breaker trips, we have a fault. Now, it could be a normal fault, like the wire's been eaten by rats, or something like that. Or it could be just sheerly that we just got too much demand on the circuit. And so when the circuit breaker trips, that's a clue to remove some load. Remove some load. It's a bit like going to school. That was a picture that's not my school at Mumblegum, but that was taken in 1955 or something like that. And you might, if he's old enough, you might remember those old desks. And they had inkwells in them. I can't see inkwells in those, but I had inkwells at Mumblegum. And we wrote with the old fountain pens. And I was looking at Robin's writing there this morning. She learnt to running write beautifully. Sadly, our kids today, they can't write at all. Let alone spell. But we did the three basic R's, didn't we? Reading, writing and arithmetic. And we were motivated by this other thing that's been removed. We won't mention it, will we? But so when I went to school, so it's a bit like this. Let's say Mumblegum went to year six, right? And it had about 20 kids in the whole school from kindergarten to year six. So I had about three or four mates in my class. And then, when you finished year six, you went to high school at Casino. And I think in those days, it went from 20 students to 700 students. And to make it worse, most of my mates went to boarding school. So here I am, alone, in the wilderness. But how's this? If I hadn't passed year six with understanding the basics and went to year seven, how do you think I would have done? Wouldn't I have been setting myself up for a failure? Because right. If you haven't got the basic, especially in mathematics, if you don't understand the fundamentals, you can't grasp the higher advanced maths, can you? And you'll just fall to bits. Unfortunately, when I did get to year seven, I was pretty good at maths, but our teacher was an excellent maths teacher. He could make maths interesting. There's a challenge. And if you're interested in a subject, you will grasp it. But if you're not interested, don't try training anyone that's not interested. That's what I would say. So, yes, so what happens usually, if you can't grasp year six, in the old days, they'd get you to repeat it. Repeat it. It's too important. What's a year out of your life as a kid? Do a repeat. Otherwise, you're going for a failure. So here's my point. So assuming you agree with me that we could have done better in 2018 than we did, are you willing to repeat? Or are you just going to play ahead? Right? Or do we want to do the reset? You know, things are much easier the second time around. Ever notice that? I got this old lawnmower, exactly like that, an old Cox, ride on, and she broke down. She's got a very complicated drive mechanism in it. And so I've spent a couple of weeks dismantling it. A couple of weeks, not full time, but a majority of my time. very frustrating. You might be asking me, why am I doing this? Why don't I just go and buy a new one? Well, I'm a very determined person. I don't want to be beaten by an old lawnmower. So I'm into it. So I've got it apart, but it took me so long because I didn't know what I was doing. I had to figure out every step of disassembly. And to make matters worse, every bolt and every nut was solidly rusted. Solidly rusted. So I had to grind and drill every bolt out. So what would take you 5 minutes would take you 2 hours. But get this. Now that I've done it once, the next time it will be much quicker and easier. Because firstly, I now know what I am doing. And secondly, I've replaced every rusted bolt and nut. And not only that, I've lubricated them. So they'll come straight out. So how about us? Have we got a bit rusty? Are we a bit seized up? You know, this is very easy to do. Very easy. All we have to do is sit and we'll cease. Hey? Yeah, that just come to me. It's not even in my notes. Well, if you don't want to be seized up, I've got some good news for you. We don't need to worry. Because Matthew 6 tells us, if you decide to live for God, I'll have to read it off the screen, out of the Message Bible, if you decide to live for God, living a life of God worship, it follows that you don't fuss about on what is at the table at meal times, or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. Eh? There is far more to your life than the food you put in your stomach, more to your outer appearance than the clothes that you hang on your body. Look at the birds. Free and unfretted. Not tied down to a job description. Careless in the care of God, and you count far more to him than birds. Now anyone by fussing in front of the mirror, has anyone got taller by doing that? So much as a centimetre? All this time and money wasted on fashion, do you think it makes that much difference? Well, depends who you ask. Instead of looking at the fashions, walk out into the fields and look at the wildflowers. They never prim or shop. But have you ever seen colour and design quite like it? The 10 best dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside them. If God gives such attention to the appearance of the wildflowers, most of which are never ever seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax and not be so preoccupied with getting, so that you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God's provision. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Do we believe that? You know, worrying is actually a sin. And why is it a sin? Because it means we're not trusting God. And whatever is not by faith is sin, because it's the opposite. It's lack of faith. The past is the past. I want to underline that. The past is the past. Dead and buried. Gone. Don't get caught up in it. Leave it where it belongs. The past. I've met many people, especially Christians, that are still hanging up with something that's happened in the past, especially something that's happened in the church. Someone said something to them that they didn't like, and they're living there. But God says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. New every morning. Great is the Lord's faithfulness. So every day, basically God's given us a reset. New mercies, new day, new start. Hey? What a great position to hold. Don't worry about what happened yesterday. Just worry about today. Oh, don't worry. No, don't worry at all, sorry. Just focus on today. So, really what matters here now is, where do we go from here? Okay, we might acknowledge all that. Okay, we could do better. Yeah, good. Okay, great. So what do we do now? Let's look to our best friend for clues. Our best friend, you say. Who is he talking about? Well, I'm referring to the Holy Spirit that indwells every believer. The living in every born-again child of God. And he's in us to be our best friend. And so let's just think about that thought. That's a big thought. God living in us. You know, the prophet Isaiah told us that our Saviour would be called, amongst other names, Emmanuel, which we know, God with us. And that comes from Isaiah 7:14, which says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Let me just stop there. Many people say today, oh, I need a sign. I'd like to see a sign. What did God say? I'm going to give you a sign, all right. Here he is. And I also know in somewhere else in the Gospels, Jesus said to the Jews, he said, I'm not going to give you a sign because your hearts are that hard. The only sign I'm going to give you is the sign of Jonah. You know, the signs God was given was Scripture. It says, this is what I'm going to do, and this is what I've done, and this is who I am, because that proves it, because only God knows what's going to happen in the future. So Isaiah, 400 years ago, he said, I'm going to give you a child, and it's going to be me with you. It's going to be me with you. And that promise... Oh, sorry, I didn't finish the verse, sorry. Behold the virgin... A lot of people struggle with that bit. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and she'll call his name Emmanuel. Now, here's my point. People struggle with the fact that it's a virgin given birth. Well, naturally, humanly impossible, of course. But who created Mary? which is the bigger thing to do? Give a virgin a child, or create the virgin? I don't know. I don't know why people have trouble with that, but anyway, they do. So that promise that God gave hundreds of years before Jesus was completed when Jesus stepped from eternity, and get this, he stepped from eternity into time and space. Time and space. He had to enter our world from his world. And I don't think we get our mind around that. How you go from eternity into time and space? It's a bit of a backward step, isn't it? But he had to do that to become one of us. I love that song that says, God and man at table are sat down. How would it have been to have a meal with Jesus at the table and have a yarn with him? Hey? What a privilege those disciples had. And then when Jesus had paid the price for our sin, he returned to the Father. And then he sent the Holy Spirit, who now lives in us. So it's gone one step further, hasn't it? God with us, now God in us. And God calls the Holy Spirit Comforter. I will send the Comforter. What does a Comforter do? Comforts! Oh good, go straight to the top of the class. He's a Comforter! And could I suggest that we might need some more of this comfort in 2019? Because I don't know what it holds, But right at the moment, I can tell you this, there's no sign of rain in the short term, and creation around here is groaning. Needs some comfort here. But as a very good friend, the Holy Spirit wants to guide and direct our steps. Not only that, not only does he want us to guide us, he will give us the power to do that if we call for it. He'll give us the power to be obedient to his direction if we choose. My old dad has just had a pacemaker fitted because his old heart got out of rhythm, like it wasn't functioning properly. Apparently the bottom little valve, when it contracts, it sends a signal to the big valve up top to do the same thing. So it kind of got like a double heartbeat happening here. I don't fully understand it. But anyway, the little one fires up, but the signal doesn't get to the big one, so it doesn't fire. And so that's very draining on the heart. And so the pacemaker, what they do, they put two wires in, one on the bottom muscle and one on the top muscle. This is my understanding. Correct me if I'm wrong. And so it knows the signal's gone from the little one, and so it makes sure the top muscle gets the signal. Just make sure that signal gets through. Keep the heart in rhythm. And it's just like us, you know. We need the Holy Spirit to send pulses to our heart to keep it in rhythm. Because whether we know it or not, we've got a heart problem. Dad can now not go near electric fences. And his whole property of 500 acres odd is electrified. So this is a real problem for him, but a bigger problem for the kids. Because now we have to maintain the fences. But it's very hard for my father, because now it means he has to change things that he has done forever. He has to face up to reality. He could take the risk, but it's a high risk to pay, isn't it? And it's the same with us. It is the same with us. There are some things as Christians we need to stay away from that could threaten our pacemaker. I'll give you a couple. Some things that God's kids should not do. Seek approval. You might say, what am I talking about? Depending on approval from human beings is a slippery slope that takes you away from God. As Christians, our approval should only come from God. Now, this can be a challenge because we all want everyone's approval, don't we? So we're in danger of compromise. Knowing God's approval is all that matters. That should sustain us whenever we receive negative comments. We will receive negative statements all the time, and even from our closest brothers and sisters. Okay? Don't be surprised by that. But we're not driven by that. I did have some scriptures, and I won't do them, but they're there in the margins. The next one is gossiping. Do you think we got a problem in the church with gossiping? Ephesians 4:29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths." I had a brother once at Tabernacle Church, and it was talking about James with the tongue, you know, the tongue is a fiery thing, you know, who can tame it. He built up a little bridle for it that could be fit in your mouth to control your tongue. I thought that was a very good illustration. Some people need to wear a bridle on their tongue, do they not? So be very careful what comes out of your mouth. I have the bad habit, and Marilyn reminds me all the time, is speaking first and thinking about it later. I'm a Peter kind of bloke, you know. I'm just in their boots and all, and then says, whoops, I shouldn't have said that. Too late. It's out there. You cannot take it back. But only, we should only use our mouth to what is only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. See? It's all about them. It's never about us. When I get in a conversation, I hear someone saying, I. You know what my ears do? They go, shut down. The best way to talk to people is ask them about themselves. Because people, do you know what their most favourite subject is? Themselves. Yeah. You'll have no trouble having a conversation by asking people about themselves. And that'll build a relationship. But keep the eye out of your own conversation if you can, as much as possible. Because it's not encouraging, really. Unless you've got something really important that might be helpful to their need. Anyway, I'm getting away from the scripture, but that's because it's all about benefiting those who listen. That's what it's about. And there's a psalm there which I won't read because it's too hard. Oh, the word of God's too hard, that is. Won't worry about that. Being worldly. Oh, here's one. It's impossible to be godly and worldly at the same time. Try it. As Christians, we have been called to be godly. Holy people, it says, which leaves no room for worldliness. 1 John 2:15 to 17 says, "Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Strong words there, Jesus is saying. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." Pretty black and white, do you think? Okay, you got that one? Oh, by the way, the world's in the church. The world is in the church. We've got to get it out. Enough said on that. Holding grudges. Being a child of God means that you have access to God's forgiveness. You have access to it. Yes. So it's only fair that we treat others the way he has treated us. So if God's forgiven us, should we not forgive each other? Yes. Since we have been given, it's only right we share this gift. It's a gift you're going to give to someone to forgive them instead of holding the grudge, because that's the opposite. If we don't forgive them, we're holding it. Here's the scripture, Matthew 18, 21, 22. I'm sure you all know it well. "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sinned against me? 7 times?'" Now, I think in the Jewish culture, that was a really high number. I think, from memory. It might have been a couple of times they had to do it. But 7 times, that was high. So I think Peter would say, "Oh yes, that's pretty good, Lord. If I could do it 7 times, that'd be good enough." Well, Jesus said, well, you know his answer. "No, that's not high enough bar, not even close." He said, no, not 7 times, but 70 times 7, which we know, 7 times 144. But really what Jesus was saying was, all the time. There we go with that. We can't do this in our own power, see? We have to call on the Spirit's power in us to do that, by his power. And lastly, fear. Fear. Here's a big one. There's no place in a Christian's heart. Fear has no place in a Christian's heart. You know that? Because of what we carry on the inside. Fear. Someone described it to me once as false evidence appearing real. It's false. It's fake news. Trump's got it right. Don't believe what you see all the time. Don't believe what you feel most of the time. Don't believe what you hear. If it wells up into fear, it's not from God. 2 Timothy 1, 7 and 8 clearly states that we have no business with this particular emotion, because that's what it is. It's an emotion, isn't it? Paul writes to Timothy, he says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." I like what God says there, a mind, see, because our mind is stronger than our emotions if we use it. But most often our emotion runs our mind, not the other way round, I think. "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord." So this is where the fear really comes in. That's why I think one of those questions is, you know, have we shared the love of Jesus with someone in 2018? The thing that will stop us is fear. The fear of rejection. The fear that they will not receive it. And they, a lot of cases, will not receive it either. But that shouldn't drive us. We should not be ashamed of sharing Jesus with people. And I'll explain why in a minute. We should always replace fear, because there's no neutral position, right? There's no neutral. So you've got to replace something with something else. So we should replace fear with hope and faith in our God. A solid substitute. "This is my command," God gave to Joshua. He said, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." That would be the same for us, is it not? God's with us wherever we go. So why should we fear? Apart from these, and these are just a couple of things I think Christians should stay away from to be helpful in our lives, there's one other thing that I know that the Holy Spirit will tell every son and daughter to do this year. And that is this one thing. Guess what it is? To share the love of Jesus with those who don't know him. And why should we do that? Well, firstly, that was my scriptures. We'll jump through them. Jesus told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Now, I can't see it says, here's a suggestion, kids. Here's a suggestion. No, it's a command from the highest authority. Why did God save us? To do this. Can I share briefly? I'm just going to close with this little video clip from a great missionary organization called Faith Comes by Hearing. And it's based on Romans 10:7, which says, "But how can people call for help if they don't know whom to trust? And how can they know who to trust if they haven't heard of the one who can be trusted?" And here it is. How can they hear if nobody tells them? And how is anyone going to tell them unless someone is sent to do it? Could I suggest each and every one here listening to me today is sent people. Sent people. And it's interesting that the Word of God says, how can they hear? How can they hear? Now, this faith by comes from hearing ministry is based on the fact that 50% of the world is basically illiterate. They cannot read a Bible if you gave them one. And 70% of the world is oral. They communicate by talking. We've lost that art, the younger generation. They communicate by texting, etc. But by talking, they orally talk stories. And so their missionary organization is focused on producing audio spoken word in their languages, which has a powerful effect. And I just want to give you a little clip here, because it just shows the insight of God's Spirit working with people who have never heard the gospel before when this happens, and some of the insights into things we missed, like the 2,000 pigs. I'll just let that run and we'll have a listen. If the sound comes up. (Clears Whoops. Not going to run. That'd be great, wouldn't it? It's a great little clip. No, not going to run. Okay, well, I'll describe it to you. I'll just quickly describe it. They produce these they've got a little, like a transistor radio. It's got a solar power panel on it, so you don't need electricity to run it. Also, if there's no sun, you can wind the handle, and it powers up a little power supply in it. It gives them the spoken word. It's big enough for 1,000 people to listen to. It's in their language. And they also produce a little, like an MP3 player on a little stick that people can listen to privately in countries that they've got to keep it secret. But they've also got this little chip that goes into the mobile phone, a smartphone. Now, majority of the people around the world, now even in Africa and even the third world, have smartphones. They might not have an internet connection, but they've got a smartphone. So what they can do is put this chip in one phone, and they can transfer it from phone to phone to phone to phone. And everyone gets the spoken word in their languages. There's 7,140 languages yet in the world, apparently, and they've done about, I think they're up into the thousands of the translations. But they gave these Africans, they were talking to these Africans about the parable, not the parable, when Jesus told the story about the demoniac. And Jesus cast the demons. The demons said, "Can we go into the pigs?" Seems to me that demons need a body. So they went, so Jesus said, "Yep, go into the pigs." But there was 2,000 pigs. Now, they made the point, these Africans started talking amongst themselves after hearing this story and say, "What? That'd be their whole economy of their community, because they would be sharing the pigs, see? Each one would probably own a couple of pigs. So they're all community pigs. And the whole 2,000, as you know, run off and jump into the sea. There goes their economy." And they're debating this. First time they've heard it. They're debating it. And one of the businessmen in the town kind of said to the missionaries, did Jesus reimburse them for that? No. And they're thinking about it and mulling over it. And all of a sudden, a couple of the old African elders spoke up and said, "We think we know why." And the missionaries are a bit astounded by this comment. They know, they've been studying this for years and really hadn't thought much about it. And the African said, "Yeah, we know why. We think we know why." And they said, "Well, tell us, what do you think?" "Well," they said, "we think that Jesus was trying to show that a value of a man's soul, one man's soul, was worth more than the whole economy of that community." And you could hear a pin drop. I think he hit it on the head. And we miss it. The value of one man's soul. That is so powerful. So how do we value a soul? Because that's, I think, how God values it. If Jesus died on the cross just for me, would he have done that? Yes. So let's just close with that. And let's say that we could give someone a Bible this year, and that would be a great thing to do. But we could also share our testimony of our experience with Jesus into their lives, and that might be greater. Because sometimes we might be the only Bible someone reads. So there's my challenge for this year. Share Jesus personally, if you can, with your, especially your loved ones, but branch it out, and let's make 2019 the year that Lord reaps a great harvest. The great harvest as the close of time comes closer. This might be our last year. I'm not saying that because I don't really know. But I'm saying, looking around the world, things aren't getting better. And as those kids said, they're not getting better. And we know that Jesus talks about birthdays getting worse and worse and worse before the end comes. And if he doesn't come, no flesh would be saved. So, reach the perishing. Amen? Amen.
Thank you, Jamie. If you'd like to stand and join us in singing "Great is Thy Faithfulness." And today is the last day we will see this tree. If you would like to grab an envelope and donate some money towards maybe some chooks or rabbits or goats or some tools that they could grow their crops with, that would be great, and give it to me at the end of the day. Thank you. Jamie, could we have the words, please, love? Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning within. Thou changest, they fail not. Stay and join us for a cup of tea, some cake or some sandwiches. We'd love to have your company. The benediction today is, may God's blessing surround you. May God's blessing surround you each day as you trust Him and walk in His way. May His presence within guard and keep you from sin. Go in peace, go in joy, go in love. Safe travels, Peter. Hope.